This is Charlie Boast reading the Pantograph for Monday, November 6th, 2017. I'll start this first half hour with an article with the headline, Expensive Governor Race Spills Down the Ballot. There's a picture with the caption, Illinois Democratic Gubernatorial Candidates from Left, Daniel Biss, Bob Daber, T.O. Hardeman, Chris Kennedy, Alexander Petrakis, and J.B. Pritzker answer questions about their candidacy at an event in Mount Prospect. The article is by Ed Tibbetts of the Pantograph News Service. Springfield. By now, it's already evident the 2018 race for Illinois governor is a contest like no other. The amount of money raised so far has already blown past $100 million, and even though there are more than 5 months to go before the March 20th election, television ads have been airing for weeks in markets across the state. Republican Governor Bruce Rauner, who doled out tens of millions of dollars of his own money in 2014 and 2016, is ready to do it again. This cycle, his campaign has raised more than $72 million, which includes a $50 million contribution Rauner made this past December. Meanwhile, Democrat J.B. Pritzker, a businessman and wealthy heir to the Hyatt fortune, has devoted $28 million of his own money to the race so far. Both men face primaries, but at least in terms of the money they've raised, they're easily outdistancing their rivals. If the two end up going head-to-head, some analysts are predicting record spending. It's already pretty unprecedented, said Sarah Brune, executive director of the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform, which tracks money in political races and pushes for reform. Big money in the 2018 election cycle isn't confined to the top of the ticket, either. Last year's elections saw 23 state legislative races top $1 million, with five going higher than $5 million, according to Kent Redfield, an American professor, emeritus professor at the University of Illinois Springfield, who tracks campaign spending. Expect similar spending levels this cycle, experts say. Redfield points to the potential of a Pritzker candidacy and said, in part, the typical funding sources for Democrats are especially excited about the prospect of having more flexibility that would come with a self-funder at the top of the ticket. That's what makes Pritzker so compelling, is he can self-fund. Then, people that are funding the Democrats' legislative campaign are not forced to do triage, he said. Not all are fans, of course. A Pritzker rival in the primary, State Senator Daniel Biss, Democrat of Evanston, has pointedly asked, are we going to have an election or an auction? Pritzker's campaign has emphasized his experience and devotion to causes like early education. Still, some of his backers in the primary clearly like the idea that he can bring his own money to the fight. At the Salute to Labor picnic in the Quad Cities in early September, Michael Kerrigan, president of the Illinois AFL-CIO, said, you just can't row a boat into the Gulf and take on an aircraft carrier. The state AFL-CIO endorsed Pritzker in June. In 2016, Republicans broke the Democrats' supermajority in the House, with spending by the governor and a handful of allies fueling the cause. One of the seats, the GOP won, was in the 71st District, where Representative Tony McCumber, a Savannah, Illinois Republican, defeated Democrat Mike Smitty. The contest cost about $3.6 million, Redfield said. This cycle, it's likely that the race for the seat held by State Senator Neil Anderson, Republican of Andalusia, will be a prominent one in the state. Democrats, Redfield said, will most likely play defense outside of Chicago and its suburbs, but the race for the 36th district is likely to be the exception, he said. Anderson already has raised $422,000, according to the Illinois Campaign for Political Reform. Greg Johnson, a longtime union official and one of two Democrats who have announced candidacies for the seat, has raised about $18,000. Those figures will surely go much higher as parties and labor unions dive in. I think the Republicans will spend a lot of money defending Anderson, he said. Christopher Mooney, director of the Institute of Government and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois at Springfield, also notes that there have been a number of state House Republicans who have announced retirements, which opens seats. That means even more spending down the ballot. It's all there, he said. Lots of money at the top of the ticket is one thing, but Brune also said that campaigns down the ballot are getting more expensive, too. It's not just the money being shelled out for seats in the General Assembly, either. Local races this year also saw increased spending, notably in Aurora and Evanston, where mayor's races were hotly contested. Brune said some contests saw spending between $100,000 and $500,000. That's a lot of money for a local race. A second article on the front page of today, November 6, Pantograph, has the headline, Quiet Zone Could Begin. Normal May Secure Train Designation. There's a thumbnail picture labeled Peterson. The article is written by Derek Bay, or by B-E-I-G-H. Normal. Normal residents may be rid of many loud train whistles, especially overnight, yet this year. Officials are optimistic the town will secure a quiet zone designation, meaning passenger and freight trains going through Normal would no longer need to lay on their horns while passing through town. The designation wouldn't stop passenger trains resuming travel, including from Uptown Station, from needing to use their horns, but those trains don't run in the late night or early morning, and conductors would still use their whistles when they see hazards. People who live close to the rail line are anxious to see this happen. Certainly, our two hotels in Uptown will welcome this designation. Even some people who live blocks away are bothered by train whistles, said City Manager Mark Peterson. They're unnecessary and they are disruptive. Ending the whistles is possible thanks to new safety equipment installed along local rail lines for high-speed rail. Such trains are slated to run through Illinois up to 110 miles per hour, though they won't hit that speed while passing through town. Peterson said he's still unsure, however, when high-speed trains will start running through Normal regularly. The new train platform south of Uptown Station, built for trains coming through on the second rail line as part of a high-speed rail, is done but not open, though some freight trains are now running on the second rail line. The town also spent $26,000 on a vehicle to move passengers from the new platform to Uptown Station by the Broadway and Fell Avenue crossings. The officials are still working on a permanent walkway for passengers, likely to be an underpass that's still under study by a New York City consulting firm. Mayor Chris Koos has said no such crossing, expected to cost more than $10 million, will be built without state or federal funding. The Normal City Council will consider a new lease for Amtrak at Uptown Station and the South Platform during its regular meeting at 7 p.m. Monday on the fourth floor at Uptown Station. Peterson said the deal will not significantly change the town's terms with Amtrak. In other business, the council will hear an update on All About Normal, a program that lets the public take weekly classes to learn about town operations. The long-dormant effort was revived this fall. And meet for the first time since Shayla Billingmare left her position as executive director of the Uptown Children's Discovery Museum. Peterson said officials hope to replace Billingmare as soon as the end of the month. A job posting for the position ends Monday. Peterson is serving as interim director. He plans to retire at the end of March. A job posting for his successor is set to end Friday. Now from the local section, starting on page 3 of today, November 6th, Pantograph. Church celebrates 125 years. There's a picture with the caption, Park United Methodist Church at 704 South Allen Street in Bloomington is celebrating 125 years of worship with special services in December. The article is by Julia Evilsizer. Bloomington. An anchor church on Bloomington's west side is inviting the public to join its celebration of 125 years in the community next month. Park United Methodist Church, 704 South Allen Street, was founded in 1892 and continues to offer several Sunday services, choirs, youth groups, Bible studies, and Christmas Eve services. The church will host an open house from 3 to 6 p.m. December 9th with food, caroling, a display of church history, and fellowship. A special service at 11:10 a.m. December 10th will be followed by a lunch for its current congregation and past clergy. This congregation has a servant heart for the neighborhood, a joyful heart for worship, and a strong dependence upon prayer, said Reverend Stephanie Soon, who became pastor of the congregation this year. Park United also hosts the Methodist Ministry's food pantry at 5 p.m. every other Monday and back-to-school celebrations. The church began when the Epworth League of First Methodist Church sponsored a Sunday school at 1005 West Washington Street in Bloomington. A church was built on the property and completed in 1897. A cornerstone for the new and current church building was laid in 1906 at the corner of Allen Street and Oakland Avenue, then Clay Street. The cornerstone contained a Bible, a copy of the church discipline, a list of original members, and illustrations of the building then under construction. The brick building was completed in 1907 for $17,000. The church had 103 members at the time. In 1928, an educational addition was added to the church, giving the building its current appearance. According to Pantograph Archives, it was originally named Park Methodist Episcopal Church because of its proximity to Miller Park. Due to a national merger between the Methodist and Evangelical United Brethren churches, the Bloomington location was renamed Park United Methodist Church in 1968. A growing congregation in the 1960s caused the church to add service times and expand the parking lot. The church currently worships at 11:10 a.m. every Sunday with coffee hour at 10:30 a.m. Now there are two pictures on page A3 with just captions. They're headlined Thanksgiving at the Mansion. The upper one, the kitchen inside the David Davis Mansion, 1000 East Monroe Street in Bloomington, shows signs of Thanksgiving as a tour takes place last Thursday afternoon. The mansion has been decorated for the blessings of the table, Thanksgiving at Clover Lawn, a recreation of the festive Thanksgiving celebrations of the 1870s, until November 18th. Antique china and rare silver is featured, along with the foods that were typical of a Thanksgiving celebration in the Victorian age, those foods including turkey and pumpkin pie. And the left picture, the kitchen inside the David Davis Mansion, 1000 East Monroe Street in Bloomington, gets in the Thanksgiving spirit for its Blessings of the Table Thanksgiving at Clover Lawn event running until November 18th. Another headline, Campaign Saves 14 Lives in Illinois. The article is by Paul Sweek, S-W-I-E-C-H. Bloomington, 14 lives have been saved in central and southern Illinois since 2014 as a result of a program to install smoke alarms in homes and to help families to develop fire escape plans. The lives saved have been credited to the American Red Cross Home Fire Campaign. Since 2014, the campaign has resulted in more than 10,000 smoke alarms installed in central and southern Illinois, with those alarms responsible for saving 14 lives that would otherwise have been lost in home fires, said Trish Burnett, Red Cross Communications Director for the Central and Southern Illinois region. Nationwide in the home fire campaign, 1 million smoke alarms have been installed and 285 lives have been saved, Red Cross announced Friday. The number reflects real people, real lives that were saved by having a working smoke alarm installed, said Matt Swaney, fire inspector and public information officer with the Normal Fire Department. That number is incredible. If we save one life, it's worth it. Well, here's an example of 285 lives saved, Swaney continued. The one act of making sure you have working smoke alarms in your house can absolutely save lives. Lynn Hruska, CEO of the Red Cross for Central and Southern Illinois, noted that Red Cross has been working on the home fire campaign since 2014 with local fire departments and community partners to reduce fire tragedies, particularly in areas at greater risk of fire. We are grateful to everyone who has supported our home fire campaign and helped us reach our 1 millionth free smoke alarm milestone and save lives, Hruska said. In addition to installing 1 million smoke alarms, campaign volunteers have replaced more than 51,000 batteries of existing smoke alarms and helped 340,000 families create home fire escape plans. In the spring, Red Cross Nationwide will conduct a Sound the Alarm campaign to work with volunteers and partner organizations to install 100,000 free smoke alarms in more than 100 cities nationwide. Anyone interested in volunteering to install smoke alarms in their community this spring may visit soundthealarm.org for more information. Another headline, Atlanta Library to Host Smithsonian Rural Exhibit. The article is written by Kevin Barlow. Atlanta is starting to prepare for a Smithsonian Institution exhibit that looks at the impact of rural culture on the United States. Atlanta Public Library will develop a companion exhibit and produce related programs, said Director Kathy Marchiarello. It's really exciting, Marchiarello said. It's a competitive process, and we are really honored to be selected to represent the Smithsonian in Illinois. Crossroads, Change in Rural America, is scheduled to appear in Atlanta February 2nd through March 16th, 2019. The exhibit is relevant because it talks about changes in rural America over time, and we are still working out what the components of our companion exhibit will be, she said. The companion exhibit is expected to focus on connections between classrooms and community, examining ways schools have impacted Atlanta's sense of community spirit, she added. We're beginning to work on it now because it is a great opportunity not only to mount a new exhibit for the museum, but to involve the community in the planning and exhibition development process. We think it will be a tremendously exciting opportunity to get a lot of people involved. The project is sponsored by Illinois Humanities, an education organization. The agency works with Museum on Main Street, a Smithsonian outreach program. Illinois' rural communities have played and continue to play a critical role in the history and culture of our state, and we are grateful to have the chance to work with the Smithsonian both to serve rural communities and to examine the development of rural Illinois, said Angelis Aguirre, Executive Director of Illinois Humanities. The exhibit describes the views of various cultural communities regarding the use and management of land and examines the role of land in the formation of local economies, Isagire said. It also discusses the emergence of rural communities and the evolution of their economic and social structures in the mid-20th century. It explores responses to 21st century challenges and invites communities to contemplate their futures. The exhibit is also scheduled to appear in Chester, Winchester, Shelbyville, Marshall, and Sycamore in late 2018 and early 2019. And the final article on page A3 of the Monday, November 6th Pantograph. New home sales remain steady in September. It's written by Pantograph staff. Bloomington. Sales of new homes in McLean County remained steady in September, while sales of existing homes dipped, according to statistics from the Bloomington Normal Association of Realtors. Agents sold 11 new homes in September, the same as August, and sold 248 existing homes, a decrease from 270 in September. Year-to-year sales of new homes in 2017 are almost 19% lower than in 2016. Sales of existing homes slightly higher than last year. Current average sales prices for an existing home in September was $170,633, compared to $179,804 in August. New homes sold in September for an average of $275,688, compared to $346,062 in August. Year-to-date, some 2,238 house sales have closed. Now I'm going to read a couple things from page A4 of today, Monday's Pantograph. There's a picture with this caption, Model Train Show Fun for All. John Learned, far right of Normal, holds his 8-year-old son, Demian, on Sunday during a model train exhibition Sunday at the Normal Public Library. Demian's sister, Quinn, in pink, celebrated her 6th birthday at the library with the family. The Learneds have a train set of their own at home, but enjoy the hobby and setting up their own track. And now the Veterans Corner, also on page A4. The 2017 Veterans Day ceremony on the east lawn of the McLean County Museum of History, 200 North Main Street, Bloomington, will begin at 11 minutes before 11 a.m. November 11th. This year's ceremony, along with activities at the museum, Illinois State University, and elsewhere, mark the 100th anniversary of America's entry into World War I, the war to end all wars. Applebee's restaurants offer free meals from a select menu to veterans on Veterans Day. Sam's Club in Normal will have a breakfast for all veterans and family from 8 to 10 a.m. November 9th in the cafe area. Avanti's restaurants in Bloomington Normal will give a meal discount up to $10 for all veterans and active servicemen and women on November 11th. Other Veterans Day discounts can be found at militaryveterans.info/Veterans Day Discounts Sales Deals Free Meals. Most offers require proof of military service. Next item, fraud. Recently, an airman received a call from someone posing as a member of the bank's fraud prevention team. The person indicated that someone had compromised the airman's account during a recent visit to Hawaii. The banker told the airman that he needed to transfer his funds from his current account to another fraudulent account to protect the money in his account. Never complete a transfer of funds without contacting the customer service number on your bank account statement. Photos wanted. There are 58,318 names etched in the black granite walls of the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. The Vietnam Veterans Memorial Fund, as part of its 35th anniversary of the wall, is trying to complete its Wall of Faces project. The online database features a photo of the service member with a brief biography. Visit the Vietnam Veteran Memorial Fund website for more information. Event. The Illinois Army National Guard Aviation Facility and Readiness Center has opened at the Kankakee Aviation Support Facility and Readiness Center. The $64.6 million project is one of the largest Illinois National Guard projects to date. The new building includes a helicopter maintenance hangar, a storage hangar, classrooms, and fuel distribution and fire suppression systems. Now, two short items in the Daily Digest. MCCA Annual Meeting Set. Bloomington. Mid-Central Community Action will have its annual general meeting at 5 p.m. November 15th at 1301 West Washington Street, Bloomington. The public is invited to the meeting, which will include a review of MCCA's annual report and an opportunity for questions and comments from residents of McLean and Livingston counties. CPN Kids Benefit Plan, Bloomington. The Child Protection Network's virtual Blue Kids Benefit continues through November 30th at mcleancpn.org/give. Child Protection Network provides financial resources to support the treatment and prevention of child abuse and neglect. For more information, info@mcleancpn.org, or the phone is 309-445-2280. That completes the first half-hour reading of the Pantograph for Monday, November 6, 2017. This is Charlie Bost signing off.